Now time here on RNIB Connect Radio to look at the work of Cornelia Parker, one of Britain's best loved and most acclaimed contemporary artists, with an exhibition of her work at Tate Britain, which will also include an audio described tour led by visually impaired artist Sally Booth on Friday the 24th of June at 5:30 p.m. I'm now joined here on RNIB Connect Radio by Nathan Ladd, one of the curators of the Cornelia Parker exhibition, to tell me a bit more about her work. Hello, Nathan, and welcome to Connect Radio.
Hello, and thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Nathan, before we talk a bit more about some of the work that's on in the exhibition at Tate Britain, I wondered if you could give me a bit of background to Cornelia Parker's work, as I can certainly remember being truly amazed when seeing Cold Dark Matter, the exploded shed frozen in time, suspended from the ceiling of Tate Britain back in the early 90s.
Yes, I mean, you've touched on a few kind of important points of her career already, but yeah, I mean, essentially Cornelia Parker is a British artist who's had a incredibly varied career over the last 30 years, making work across many different media, and together this body of work has really kind of cemented her this significant presence in Britain's kind of cultural landscape. There's so many, of course, kind of almost infamous large-scale installations like the one you just mentioned, Cold Dark Matter, which sees a kind of common or garden domestic shed that, together with the British Army, Cornelia exploded. And then the work kind of sits there in this kind of suspended motion somewhere between order and chaos. And we also have, so we have many other examples of these kind of immersive installations, which have really seen her kind of push the boundary of what we kind of understand sculpture to be. So rather than kind of traditional approaches to sculpture that we might think of, like carving or modeling or casting, her work is kind of situated around the collection of these familiar or kind of found objects of our everyday life that we might normally throw away, but she takes and she squashes or she explodes or she shoots or she burns to kind of transform them into these kind of feats of monumental sculpture. And together, the kind of breadth of this work over the last 30 years has remade her this kind of recognizable presence. But I think with this exhibition, what we're trying to do is also broaden out that kind of conception of who she is as an artist. And not only these incredibly awe-inspiring installations, but also work across the other media, for example, in film and photography and embroidery and drawings that together kind of sit alongside these installations in the exhibition at Tate.
How did you, as a curator, sort of choose all the works of art that are in the exhibition? Because obviously, you know, there are these big pieces like the Cold Dark Matter, 30 pieces of silver, but there's also, as you say, lots of her paintings, drawings, film and photography. How did you choose? And was there sort of an order of things that you wanted to include?
I mean, we kind of, I mean, the exhibition, I mean, together almost has 100 works across all the rooms. And we were really kind of committed to showing the Cornelia's kind of 35-year career. So she's been working for so long. So there is this kind of really major kind of body of work that she's created. And what we wanted to do, as I was slightly kind of touching on, is to balance between the works that have made her this kind of very famous kind of iconic artist in the kind of British imagination. Those things like Cold Dark Matter, things like 30 Pieces of Silver, which is a collection of squashed and suspended pieces of silver-plated kind of crockery and cutlery, or War Room, the hugely expansive room installation of the kind of perforated paper left over from the making of Remembrance Poppies. We wanted to kind of punctuate these kind of familiar installations with works that people hadn't really seen before. So we really kind of went through the kind of catalogue of work she makes, some much more on a kind of domestic scale, but still have the same narrative drive and rigorous research and hugely complex process in their making. So we went through all the work that she kind of made, and then the whole exhibition process has been a kind of close collaboration with the artist herself. She's very, very much been involved in the process. Essentially, we kind of would do an initial kind of selection, and then everything would be in kind of close dialogue with her. So yeah, there was this ambition to kind of really tell the true story of her kind of career over the last 35 years.
And some of her work, as we've touched on earlier on, is obviously quite political, or maybe not be political, but a lot of it is telling a story and making a statement and taking everyday items and, I suppose, offering them up as a work of beauty as well, but also telling a story through those items.
No, completely. I mean, the way that we've structured the exhibition also is that every work has a caption written by Cornelia herself. So it's really kind of, you're taken through the exhibition by her voice. And I think because, as you say, like all these objects, whether they are a large installation or a small work on paper, have their own kind of stories and narratives, it was very important for us to kind of keep her voice throughout the exhibition. So we hope that when people go by, they're really kind of taken through works, almost kind of by Cornelia in a way.
So a truly sort of led exhibition of her own work by herself in a way, with obviously yourself and the other curator playing that part as well. And I believe that some of her work has also expanded out of the exhibition space and is in some of the other galleries at Tate Britain alongside some of the more permanent works of art that are on display. How did you choose which works of art would be pieced against the sort of permanent works of art on display, and what is sort of the relationship of some of those pieces?
Yeah, I mean, this was actually a particularly fun element of the project to kind of, yeah, as you were saying, kind of perforate the walls of the exhibition and really take advantage of Tate Britain's incredible collection of British art, as Tate is kind of the home of British art from the last 500 years. And also because kind of history is so important to Cornelia as well, and in the way that she thinks through her work, that we wanted to kind of give her the chance to think about her work in dialogue with parts of the historic collection. So the first, so with these kind of interventions, if you will, the first one can actually be found in the first room of the exhibition. And this is one of the pieces from a series of works called Stolen Thunder. And Stolen Thunder sees Cornelia take handkerchiefs. And with these handkerchiefs, she rubs the silver tarnish off historic objects, whether that be the knife of Charles Dickens or the spoon of Davy Crockett or the armor of Henry VIII. But in this case, the work we chose to put in this kind of part of the permanent collection is the handkerchief she used to rub the silver tarnish of the spurs of Charles I. And we placed it next to a painting of Endymion Porter in the first gallery of the chronological hang of British art, as Endymion Porter was part of Charles I's court. So that's the kind of first work that people would encounter. And then as you move through the historic collection, you'll encounter one of Cornelia's, or I think in fact her first ever work of video, which is called Chomsky in Abstract, which is a 40-minute interview with a kind of political theorist and activist, Noam Chomsky. And it's a kind of 40-minute interview where in fact you don't hear Cornelia's voice, you just hear Chomsky. So she kind of takes away her voice, and it's just this almost kind of monologue by Chomsky where he talks from things around war, around language, around ecology. And what we've done, we placed it in front of a huge large-scale painting by Copley, which centers on the death of Major Pearson when the French Napoleonic forces invaded Guernsey. So very much looking at that kind of topic of war that Chomsky so kind of eloquently discusses in the video itself. And then carrying on through the historic ring, as we reach the Victorian galleries, we have a piece from Tate's own collection called Objects That Fell Off the White Cliffs of Dover, which was a silver teapot that Cornelia threw from the White Cliffs of Dover, as they kind of stand as this like really important emblematic object in her work, both using it as a material, as chalk, but also as this kind of important, I guess, border at the edge of kind of the island that she kind of lives on, and looking at them as this kind of position to both look out at the world, but also something potentially that kind of forces one to look inwards. So the teapot sits in our 1840 galleries against a painting of the White Cliffs of Dover. So there's that kind of connection between historic paintings of Dover whilst also being this kind of piece of contemporary art. And the final piece is the most substantial, which is a work called The Distance. And then in brackets afterwards, with a string attached. And it's actually a restaging of a work that was first shown at Tate back in 2003, where Cornelia takes Rodin's sculpture, The Kiss, that kind of really famous sculpture of the kind of two embracing figures. And what she does is she wraps it with a mile of string. And in 2003, there was a protest against the work at Tate, where the Stuckists, who are kind of a group very kind of anti-conceptual art, cut the string to kind of reveal the sculpture again, because they were kind of angry that it was being concealed from the public. So it has this kind of very important institutional history. So we restaged it, and Corneille has kind of rewrapped it on site at Tate, which you can see as you enter the gallery, actually, through the main entrance. So you're kind of encountered with the exhibition as soon as you come in.
Wow. And I think it is that thing of, you know, sort of relating one item to another and taking something that's ordinary and putting it in a sort of an art gallery or in a space that's taking it to a different sort of, I suppose, a different height in a way, for more of a better word. You know, it's taking something that, you know, that's very much part of her work, taking something that's ordinary and making that art. And it's that viewpoint that she has that has taken something that's mundane in some people's eyes to something that's beautiful and something that can tell a story and make a statement.
Completely. And I think that's what kind of allows such a kind of personal connection to her work, because I think anyone who kind of encounters it encounters objects that are so familiar, yet they've kind of gone through these often quite violent transformations, and through that kind of transformation are kind of imbibed with this almost new meaning and new potency. So you have that kind of encounter with the familiar, but and also a kind of transformation of meaning at the same time, which I think gives such an engagement for visitors seeing her work.
And Nathan, are there any examples of Cornelia Parker's work in the exhibition that you think people must go and see?
I mean, I think there's a really moving space within the exhibition, which I very briefly touched on earlier, called War Room. And this is a work from 2015, conceived by Cornelia when she was invited to make a work in response to the First World War. And she worked in collaboration with a poppy factory, who is one of the factories that collectively with others produces around 40 million poppies each year as part of the kind of remembrance of those who died in the First World War, but also those who have died in conflicts around the world. And War Room is this kind of almost chapel or tent-like structure built site-specifically within the galleries at Tate, where you walk in and you encounter these sheets and sheets of red paper that, as you get closer, you see that there are kind of gaps in the paper. And you discover that these gaps are actually the shape of poppies, and they are the kind of leftover of the factory machine that punches the poppies out of the paper. And you kind of stand in that room and you see all these holes, and they kind of stand in for the kind of absence of those lost in conflict. So she was really trying to create this kind of contemplative or reflective space. And I think within an exhibition of such kind of awe and wonder, there is a kind of nice change of pace as you enter this room, which is kind of quiet and it's reflective and obviously speaks to, on a kind of human level, to so many of us. Aria was a really kind of special point of installation, not only because we kind of worked in collaboration with the Poppy Factory in Richmond, so not too far from the museum itself, but also as a feat of installation. I mean, it took the team kind of 3 weeks to and when you enter the gallery, you'll kind of understand why, but it took 3 weeks to kind of meticulously hang all these kind of sheets of paper, making sure that all the poppies were kind of equally aligned throughout the gallery to create this almost kind of moiré effect of that kind of layering of gaps. So yeah, it's quite a special installation.
Well, I hope that will be part of the free audio describe tour led by visually impaired artist Sally Booth, which is on Friday the 24th of June from 5:30 p.m. And for more details and to book for the tour, do email the Tate at hello@tate.org.uk. And I am informed that more than likely there'll probably be another audio describe tour of the exhibition later in the year, as I'm sure bookings will be gone very, very quickly. Well, thank you very much indeed, Nathan, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio all about the Cornelia Parker exhibition at Tate Britain.
That's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.